Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. We've been working very hard on an amazing new docuseries called Border Battle. It chronicles the horrifying conditions on America's southern border. What you are going to see in Border Battle will blow your mind. It's amazing. First-hand interviews, incredible commentary, straight up on the front lines. We've worked very hard on this from Turning Point USA, and we are exposing the border crisis. Available exclusively on SalemNow.com. Produced by Turning Point USA. Available at SalemNow.com.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All righty, we are back. John, would you lead the people in that prayer?
Yeah, yes, I would, Pastor Ernie. Yeah. Heavenly Father, we're before you in the awesome name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, you are a God of honesty. And we know that, Lord. And it's stealing, lying, and all of that's an abomination to you. And Lord, we have a political party here that's built around it. It's a criminal like cabal. If they can, they will try and steal this election, keep us in bondage, keep their agenda, make it worse, Lord. So we're asking for mercy on your part. I'm asking that you'll send confusion into their ranks, and how they want to steal elections will not happen. That multitudes of people will turn out and vote, so that there's such a overwhelming turnout and margin of victory, they can't steal it. So it's up to your people, Lord. It's up to your people to get out and vote in great numbers now. And we want righteousness back, Lord. Your marriage established again between a man and a woman, protecting the children from being killed in the womb, being killed with these shots, sexually mutilating little kids. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Thanks, John. Amen. We're going to hear a clip. This is from Coach Dave Dobemeyer, and he's on with the Health Ranger. And so, again, this is what we've been preaching on here for years and years, 50 years. So go ahead and play the clip.
All right, welcome to the Health Ranger Report on Brighteon.tv. Today we got a great interview with Coach Dave Dobemeyer, and of course he's a host here on Brighteon.tv as well. And I got a lot of questions for Coach Dave. Questions about, hey, what has happened to the church? Why is the church seemingly paralyzed in the face of evil? Why do we have drag queens in churches flaunting their junk in front of children? You know, in a building that's supposed to be a temple dedicated to God. Why is that happening in America? And what can we do to stop that and take back the churches for America and, frankly, take back America for God? Huh? There's a couple of questions layered in right there. I think Coach Dave has some answers for us. He certainly has the courage, the fortitude, a lot of wisdom to move us in that direction. So, stay with us. We'll be right back after this break with that full interview with Coach Dave Dobemeyer. Well, welcome, folks. This is Mike Adams here, the founder of Brighteon. And remember, we built the platform so we can have free speech conversations. And my guest coming up right now is going to blow the lid on what it means to speak freely about issues that matter. His name is Coach Dave Dobemeyer, and he is known as he runs Past the Salt Ministries. His website is CoachDaveLive.com. He's got a show on Brighteon.tv. Also, every Monday morning, late morning, and on Sundays as well. And he joins me now to talk about current events, the spiritual war, everything that's happening in America. Coach Dave, it's an honor to have you on. I appreciate you so much. Thank you for joining me.
Well, Mike, thanks for having us, and thanks so much for giving some of this our radical voices out here some traction and a place to be able to come and try to wake people up, because we are in an unbelievable war, Mike, and we're only going to win this battle if we can really wake people up to what's going on.
Well, you use the word radical, you know, maybe satirically, because I think that the voices that you're talking about, who we are with Christian principles, with reason and rationality, with family values, this is not radical. This is normal. This is what normal human civilization should look like. What we're fighting against are the radicals. What wouldn't you say?
Well, exactly. But I did say that kind of tongue in cheek, right?
Yeah, because I figured.
it's not radical. I'm not a radical guy. But Mike, can I tell you the truth? Some of my greatest battles, and we'll get into it here in a second, is trying to get the church to engage. And when I talk about being radical, Mike, the idea that we should get out of our church pews and get out and engage the culture against the killing of unborn babies, against the gay agenda, against transgenderism, against wicked, evil government, that idea, Mike, is radical in the American church. For whatever reason, we've become convinced that we're just supposed to sit around and wait for the rapture or for whatever to happen, and it's paralyzed us. And I'm an old football coach, brother, and if there's one thing I don't like, it's losing a game we should be winning.
Yeah.
And that's really where I feel we are.
Exactly, exactly. Now, let's start with a little bit of your history, and you shared this with me before we started recording here. But, you know, I played football in high school. I ran track for 4 years. I played football for 1 year. And in that year, our coach always prayed with us, not only before the game, but also during halftime, especially prayed when we were losing, by the way, because we really needed prayer at halftime. But, I mean, it was a normal thing. We all prayed together. No, yep. Nobody had a problem with it.
No, nobody did, Mike. And I was 1997. I was sued by the ACLU for praying with our football teams. And that's, by the way, that was right. That was about 8 years after I'd had a powerful born again experience. And really this whole battle that came into my life as a result of the ACLU battle is the Lord brought me into this battle, Mike. And, you know, I got sued in 1997. I continued coaching. We went undefeated my last year in 1999 football season. I walked away and started Past Assault Ministries because I saw, I told everybody the British are coming. I saw what was coming over the wave, over the horizon, this Antichrist movement coming over by Antichrist. I don't mean the Antichrist. I mean anti-Christian wave that was coming over.
Right.
And I tried to jump out, get out in front of it and warn pastors and wake them up. And that's really what we've been doing for the last 23 years.
So the ACLU has since sued many coaches or other people in positions of any kind of influence. You know, the ACLU has gone from a civil liberties organization to what I would characterize as basically a satanic institution of the globalists at this point. I mean, what do you make of them?
Well, it reminds me of the old movie. I'm maybe a little older than you, Mike. I'll be 70 at the end of this month. I go back to Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid when they were being chased by that posse. And the Sundance Kid kept looking back and saying, who are those guys? That's what I think about the ACLU. Who the hell are these guys that they think they have all this power that they can literally come in and remove Christianity out of the heart of America? And that's what's been going on since their inception back in the early 1960s, the lie of the separation between the church and state, no prayer in schools. They have been on a all-out assault on Christianity. Now, let us never forget this, friends. It's a battle between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. It's not Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative, old, young. It isn't any of that. It is a clear-out assault on the children of Christ against the children of the devil. And Mike, unfortunately, because we in the church have laid back and not fought back so much, the devil's kids seem to be in charge of everything. The education of our children, what we watch on TV, the news media, the government. And it's because I believe we've failed to live out Matthew 5:13, where the Lord says that we are the salt of the earth. That's why when I started the ministry, my wife and I, we called it Pass the Salt Ministries, because those of us who are Christians, who are the salt of the earth, dude, we got to get out of the salt shaker. We got to pass the salt. And so I've been watching this with great frustration over the last 20 some years, seeing it coming. And Mike, I tell everybody the five saddest words in the English language is, I saw that one coming.
Oh,
I saw that one coming. And that's the way I've felt for 20 some years.
Well, to what do you attribute this, the fact that so much of the institution of the church that exists in America today seems to be paralyzed in the face of evil, if not, by the way, if not infiltrated in some cases by pure satanic evil? Because I've seen churches hosting drag queen story time shows and transgenderism for children in the church, which, I mean, come on, that's a satanic temple at that moment. But what do you think?
Well, I think that it tells us in 2 Thessalonians that because we rejected the truth, the Lord would send a strong delusion that they would believe a lie. and the church has rejected truth, Mike, some of the stuff that you've been talking about. They don't even stand up and fight to protect unborn babies. They won't even stand up and fight to defend marriage. They won't even stand up and fight to keep a man and a woman. And I think part of what's going on is judgment of God upon the church. That's what the whole COVID thing, though. See, that if the church, Mike, had stood up and said, no, we're not closing our doors and pushed back against the government, then I'm not so sure that we'd be in the situation that we're in now. But this whole idea that the church is always supposed to follow the edicts of the government, that is a lie from the pit of hell.
Yeah, and that's a lie.
That's why we're in the mess that we're in. But Jesus Christ is above the government, Mike. We're not subservient to it.
Why, though, why are so many church leaders so willing to compromise? Because, you know, they seem terrified of criticism, which is crazy. Have they not read the Bible and the experiences of Christ himself? I mean, if you're afraid to be criticized, you're never going to be able to be a pastor that's effective, period.
No, so we're dealing with two issues, in my opinion. Bad theology. Bad theology, meaning what? Always obey the government. That's bad theology, Mike. All you can do is read the book of Acts, and those guys were always pushing back against the authorities. In fact, so did Jesus. I tell people, say, Jesus didn't get involved in politics. I think, how stupid are you? The politics of the day was the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and that's the guys that he took on. He didn't take on Pilate. He stood before Pilate in Rome and said, you got no power over me. His fight was not with the government. It was with because the church was the government in his day. So everything that's right. Jesus did, not everything, but it was political, Mike. So number one, we got bad theology. And number two, can I tell you the real issue? We got sissies in the pulpit, Mike. We have cowardly men in the pulpit. The former football coach at Ohio State, John Cooper, said a statement that I never forgot. He was talking about whether or not a guy would be aggressive on a football field. He said this: if they don't bite his puppies, they won't bite his dogs. And Mike, we got guys who are in the pulpit who do not have the nature to bark. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, I do. Yeah, I do. And all they try to do is just get along with whatever society is throwing their way, which increasingly is, you know, not just transgenderism, but then pedophilia and child mutilations, and of course abortion on top of that as well. So if they don't stand up now, what would they ever stand up against? I mean, would they let the altar of the church be used just to have like radical demonic leftists raping children on the, you know, at the church and live streaming it or something? I mean, it seems like there's nothing they won't say no to.
No, because I think it's bad theology. Number one, they think they have to obey the government, right? And number two, Mike, they think they're going to be raptured out of here soon. Now, I don't argue with people over rapture doctrine. Have whatever doctrine you want to. But I know this. The Bible says to occupy till I come. And the last I've seen, he hasn't come. We ought to be occupying. Instead, we're cowering in fear, praying that he comes and rescues us before the trouble really, really hits. And Mike, it's at our door right now, brother. It's right now at our door. And I just had my own pastor, Bill Dunphy, was just arrested for something he did on January 6th. We're almost 2 years removed from that. And they just arrested him 2 weeks ago. I had 11 of my friends.
Really?
Who've been charged with a face violation down in Louisville, Kentucky. No, it was Tennessee, down in Tennessee. 11 of them charged with face violations, facing 20 years in jail. Mike, the Biden administration, the Attorney General Garland, he is on a get even rant against Christians because why? He didn't get to be on the Supreme Court. You remember all that? So,
yep,
brother, he is gone with a vengeance to try to put it in my opinion, he's in battle. The seed of the serpent, that's him against the church. He's trying to destroy the church.
Well, clearly that's the case. And I believe, depending on how this upcoming election goes, and you and I are talking here on November 2nd, so the election is in 6 days, I believe. And depending on how that goes, if Republicans take the Senate and the House, you know, you can bet there are going to be investigations, including efforts to impeach Merrick Garland, by the way, to impeach him. I believe Ted Cruz has talked about that. I think Rand Paul is talking about Nuremberg 2.0 or equivalent to look into the COVID crimes and the COVID conspiracies. So, you know, we can start to turn the corner, but we are so far down the dark hole.
It's not going to be Republicanism and conservatism that's going to save us. It's just not going to be.
I agree with you. Yeah.
And that's why I tell everybody, certainly the elections are important. But James Carville told us back when Bill Clinton was in office that all politics are local. And that's one of the things that we try to do at Past Assault Ministries is we try to raise up people locally to go to their school boards, to the county commissioners meetings, to their city council meetings, to stand up and push back and win these battles locally. Because first of all, we're giving way too much authority to the federal government. They don't have that authority, Mike. The Supreme Court does not have that authority. And so the more we can get our eyes off of the feds and get our eyes locally with our local sheriff and our local elected officials and simply stand up and say, we will not comply. I believe that's really our only chance to win. This is not going to be a top-down victory, Mike. It's going to be a bottom-up.
That makes perfect sense. And folks, Coach Dave's website is...
Alrighty, we're back. We're going to. Does that sound familiar to you, John McTiernan? Everything he said, it's amazing. This is
except for one thing, Pastor Ernie. I took exception to talking about people believing in the rapture doing nothing.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, that's absolutely the people that believe in the rapture are doing, and I'm talking about the real pastors the most. Okay.
Yes, that's exactly right.
And so, and I'm going to have to get him straight on that. Well, when next time I talk to him. But here, let me give you some examples. The anti-Christian attitude is here, and the anti-military today that we have. January 6th protester Green Beret Jeremy Brown was arrested for turning down an FBI request to work as an operative on January 6th. He's offered a plea deal by corrupt DOJ. He turned it down. You can see these FBI agents standing outside waiting on him, trying to get him to go ahead and be a part of them. And that's what happened with Randy Weaver when he refused to work with a corrupt government. Green Beret and Republican congressional candidate Jeremy Brown attended the Stop and Steal protest in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. Jeremy joined the Oath Keepers in November of 2020 following the controversial elections. He provided security at the many protests and rallies that were planned in D.C. that week. On March of 2021, Jeremy Brown started speaking out about how the Department of Homeland Security and the FBI Joint Terrorism Task Force contacted him and had attempted to recruit him to spy on patriots and everyday Americans on January 6th. In December 2020, FBI agents contacted Jeremy Brown at his home for posting some things online. Jeremy released video surveillance of the FBI contacting him at his home, and Jeremy then later released the audio according to the actual meetup with the FBI. Jeremy struggled for months about whether or not to go public with his information, but according to his Facebook page, after listening to the politicians and the FBI director Chris Wray tell lie after bold face lie to the American people, he could not stay silent any longer. Jeremy decided his desire to protect and defend the American people and the truth and more important than privacy or personal safety. So in March of 2021, Jeremy joined Brandon Gray on a band TV to explain what happened to him after he joined the Oath Keepers in November. Jeremy released a video of his encounter with the government officials when they came to his home. Jeremy also released audio of his meeting with the FBI at a local restaurant when they tried to recruit him to work undercover for him on January 6th in Washington, D.C. Jeremy explained in his video that the FBI called his cell phone and asked for a meeting after trying to contact him in his house. Jeremy then met with FBI agents at a restaurant in Yuba City in December 2020. He told Brandon Gray that 38 seconds into the interview, the FBI attempted to recruit him to spy on the Oath Keepers. The Gateway Pundit first spoke with Jeremy Brown in the 2021. Jeremy was safe at that time, but laying low and keeping on the situation until he said he had a full grasp of any fallout that it was to ensure the result. And so there you go. They arrested Jeremy at 3:45 p.m. Eastern Time, the FBI raided Army Ranger Jeremy Brown's home and arrested Jeremy. The charges were trespassing. There you go. So it just shows you we're living in a police state. Right now, we're in a police state. And our people need to get out, and they need to get out and vote in numbers like they've never voted before. And what he was saying about the pastors, that, you know, I've been preaching on that for 50 years. No place, John, you know this as well as I do, no place has our Lord been more disrespected and dishonored than from the pulpits that were supposed to be churches. We've had prissy preachers in the pulpits for so long, like dumb dogs too afraid to bark. And I praise the good Lord above for those that there's a handful. John, how many preachers do you know of other than us that actually will call these people out like we did tonight with that so-called congressman from South Carolina? How many do you know that would do that?
Well, the ones that I do know, Pastor Ernie, have gone to be with the Lord. I don't really know any that would do that, Pastor Ernie.
We've been calling them out for years. They're supposed to do that. Okay, and they say, well, give me some Bible. Somebody asked me, could you give me some Bible examples of that? Yeah. You've heard of Moses? Did Moses call out Pharaoh?
Yeah.
Okay. What about that fellow, Nathan? Did Nathan call out King David?
He sure did. Remember, thou art the man.
Thou art the man, David. What about Elijah? Did he call out Ahab and Jezebel?
He certainly did.
Did Samuel call out Saul?
Oh, yeah.
Did John the Baptist call out Herod?
Yes.
Did Micaiah the prophet call out Ahab?
Yes.
Did Jesus call out the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus?
Yeah, it's very interesting, Pastor Ernie. He did. Yeah, he did really call him. Why art thou persecuting me?
Yeah.
But think of what the Lord did with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the lawyers. You whitewashed tombs. You brood of vipers. You know, John the Baptist called them out too when they came to see what he was doing. Remember?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Did Peter call out Simon the Sorcerer? Remember when Simon the Sorcerer tried to buy the Holy Ghost?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about Ananias and Sapphira? Did Peter call out Ananias and Sapphira?
Was that when they didn't tithe over the 100% and they lied about it?
They lied to the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, okay. They lied.
To the Holy Ghost. What about Stephen? Did Stephen call out the entire Sanhedrin?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, his discourse, when he finished, Pastor Ernie, there was wailing and gnashing of teeth. They were so angry at Stephen.
And so what about when the Lord Jesus, and did he call out the Pharisees and the Sadducees there? Not the Sadducees, but the Pharisees and the lawyers. There in Matthew 23.
Yeah, he called them whitewashed tombs.
So now, are we supposed to be doing, it tells you in 2 Thessalonians, what we just read there before, that we are to keep the traditions of the prophets, okay? So are we supposed to be doing what they're doing?
You don't understand, Pastor Ernie. That was then, and this is now, and things have changed now. You don't understand, Pastor Ernie.
Oh, yeah, I know. Well, I do know that there's a few pastors in our day right now today that are doing that, okay? You know, you and I, we're doing that. Pastor Larson, he does it. Butch Paul, I know Butch Paul does it. Dr. Dixon was big. He was a big one when it comes to calling them out. And so I just praise the good Lord. The pastor that we just had here with us here a couple of weeks ago, Bill Grady, okay? So God has raised up, you know, all of your UBF preachers, that I know, unregistered Baptists, the ones that are not 501c3, all of them that I know, call them out. And so I praise the good Lord for that. But what do you think? You know, here, you would think that they read the Bible, they study the Word of God, and they know better. They know better, you know? I had a Presbyterian preacher tell me one day, he said, you know, I listened to what you're preaching, and he said, I totally agree with everything you say, especially when it comes to abortion. What a horrible sin that is. What a horrible sin. He said, but Pastor, he said, I could never do that in my church. He said, because I would offend so many women in that church if I preached against that horrible sin. And I told him, I said, listen, now I want you to think about this, and maybe I shouldn't have said it, but I said, dummy, if you had been preaching against that horrible sin, do you think you would have so many women in your church that had committed that sin? And he looked at me with this strange look on his face, and he says, you know, you got a good point there. I never thought of it that way. Sometimes, you know, you feel all alone out there, right, with talking to these people. I remember this guy talked, who was complaining about me preaching about what we preach tonight, about we must obey God rather than government. And he was upset because he was saying how Romans 13 says, you know, we have to obey civil government, okay? And he said, my Bible doesn't teach me that we should speak out against the government. I said, really? I said, have you ever heard of the prison epistles? He said, of course I have. I said, why are they called prison epistles? He said, well, because they were written in prison. I said, now, were they in prison for obeying God or government? Same thing. Boy, you got a good point. I never looked at it that way.
Yeah. If you look at Paul, who wrote up Romans, he spent almost half his ministerial life in prison defying and disobeying civil authority. And then the one other irony is the churches in 1930 Germany actually used Romans 13 to sit idly by while people were getting exterminated. Yeah. So it's a dangerous thing.
It's a, you know, and here's the problem. What a lot of these people don't really understand when they keep saying the church, they don't really understand what the church really is. The actual church is very small. You know, the actual church, you know, you're not a church by putting, you can write church on every brick in the building, but that doesn't make you a church, okay? And the church, the real church, the church divine, glorious, is in compliance and obedience with the Word of God. That's the true church. Jesus said this, many are called, but few are chosen. Many will come, but few will enter. Many will say on that day, but Lord, Lord, in your name did I not raise the dead, did I not? And he will say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. I never, see, John, let me ask you this. If he never knew them, could they be the church?
No, Pastor Ernie.
So,
no, absolutely not.
So let me ask you this question. Do you think that would apply to the vast majority of those that fill the pew of what are called churches? Or do you think that the actual church is a very small a remnant of what is called the church in America today?
Well, I think it's a small remnant, Pastor Ernie, and I don't know, you could just, there's a lot of indications to it, the dullness to the times we live in, the lack of fire in the belly, the lack of conviction, fear, fear is ruling more than the fear of man, more than the fear of God. So there's all indicators that if they do believe in the Lord, there's something wrong, Pastor, something radically wrong.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It's but hang tight. We'll be back right after this.
World War sees this opportunity to fulfill the long-held promise of a new world order, where brutality will go unrewarded.
Just in case you don't remember. Let me jog your memory. in a church they called the Waco Compound back in April 93. 17 little children, all so helpless and so small, died a senseless death of gas and flames. How many names can you recall? 17 little children, don't it make you wonder why? 17 little children, how could they deserve to die? Maybe we should stop and ask ourselves if we become so blind. Will 17 little children finally open up your mind? How did you sleep last night, Bill Clinton? Tell me, did you feel their pain? As 17 little children cried out and perished in the flames, Attorney General Janet Reno, I accept your offer to resign. How can you stand for law and order now when you won't answer to your crimes? 17 little children, all so helpless and so small. 17 little children, can you recall? Maybe we should stop and ask ourselves if we become so blind. Will 17 little children finally open up your mind? I've heard it said the Branch Davidians only got what they deserved, yet no one seems to know what laws were broken, what was in the warrant they never served. Yesterday I sold my TV set, stopped my subscription to the Times. To me it's plain to see the media was an accomplice to these crimes. 17 little children, children finally open up your mind. Open up your mind.
All right, that shows you what happens when federal agents go rogue. And folks, again, we've got to put a stop to this. Now, I'm going to open the phone lines at 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673 nationwide. And I'd like to know where you're calling from, because I need to know all the stations that we're still up on, if you're listening to us on the radio. So, of course, we have our co-host that's always here. He gets here before I do. Do you know who that is? Clifford!
Yeah, what's up?
All right, where are you calling from, Cliff? Where are you calling from?
Yeah, it's Nueva York, yeah. Yeah, I'm getting static, yeah.
But, I mean, I know, can you hear us in New York, though?
Yeah, but people would probably turn the channel. You know, you can hear you over it, but it's
pretty bad, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're trying to take me down. We got to get this thing fixed.
I'll get to my question. One thing was someone said to me that was interesting today. They said hopscotch. Now, I've heard of it. It was a children's game that involved jumping in triangles. Some people think it might have had diabolical overtones. And they said, what's the chances that Kathy Hochul would have, like, the name Hochul, similar to hopscotch? So I thought that was interesting. But another thing was the latest Sergeant Reports podcast with Sasha is saying, you know, this is an expert within the pharmaceutical industry. She was saying, it's a sloppy poison. These batches don't even match. She's with Team Enigma. But at the end of it, they said that cancer doctors are seeing a type of cancer they've never seen in their careers from these shots, apparently, they're calling it turbo cancer. But my question would be on Psalm 138. It says, the Lord looks on the lowly. He will perfect that which concerns me. I just ask you about that, and also being that that's right next to 139, Psalm 139. Do you think there's a link up in those two psalms, 139, 138, really addressing the individual type of thing?
Well, I would think so, because they're right there. Here, it's a Psalm of David, and he said, I will praise thee with my whole heart before the gods. I will sing praise unto thee. And so here, again, that's another prayer of thanksgiving. You know, he shows you how God works out his plans in our lives, really. But he says, I will worship toward the holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for truth. And thou hast magnified the word above all of thy name. Now, going to 39 here, he says this, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? In other words, he's making a point of God's omnipresence. God is omnipresence. He says, if I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, nobody, or behold, thou art there. Well, in Psalm 12, he said, he's asking you, where are you going to build a temple for me to dwell in? He said, the earth's my footstool, right? And in other words, he says, it takes the entire universe to contain God. And nobody knows how big the universe is, okay? He said, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the innermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yes, the darkness hideth not thee from me, but the night shineth in the day. The darkness and the light are both the same alike to thee. And so he's making a pretty clear point that God is omnipresent. And then the rest of that psalm, he talks about how God has created us. When he says, I praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth the right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. And in the book all of my members were written, which is in continuance with, were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. And so he's talking about how God created us, how he did it, and his image there. So what was your question again?
Yes, So do you see those Psalms, like, you see that relating to that particular verse in Psalm 138 where it says, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me? You know, could you relate that one verse in Psalm 138 to Psalm 139?
Well, yeah, you can. You know, God is omnipresent. You know, he is present. As we take a look at that, well, let me go to 138, though. And he's dealing more. Let me read the last two verses. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and the right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which is concerned with me. In thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Well, it's an interesting thing because the right hand is always referring to justice. God's justice is what it refers to. And here he's telling them that, you know, God already knows everything about us, okay? He knows, he says in Matthew 10:30, that he knows the number of hairs on our heads. And God accepts us, and he loves us, right? And he's telling you there that he, Lynn, again, will protect us. That's what he's saying. For those of us that believe and have our trust in the Lord, he is going to protect us until he decides to take us home. And now, and he will decide what our fate will be. He will decide what manner of death that we will die. And you say, well, that doesn't make sense to me. Well, God's ways are much higher than ours. And then we'll find out the answer, the reason for that, when we get to be with him, huh?
Right, right. But that's an interesting end to 138. Those, you know, perfect. Even that word perfect.
Yeah, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. So that's what he's talking about. All righty. Well, thank you for calling. Oh, look, I'm going to try to find out where we're on. So we are still on, but really bad in New York. So the static is really bad, huh?
Yeah. All righty. Yeah, it's interrupting again.
Okay. It's a little better than yesterday. All righty. Okay, let's go to Steve. Steve, you're in the air.
Hey, Pastor. 1220 in Cleveland. You're coming through pretty good. A little bit of rough calling, but that was local. I had to try a few times. But hey, real quick today, if anybody knows Steve Bannon's show, The War Room, he had Sheriff Mark Lamb on tonight. And him and Ben Berquam, they're on the border. And Mark Lamb basically said, I'm just letting you guys know this now. I'm just found this out and we didn't know, but they dug into, I'm just going to call it the Constitution of what lawmakers and what they are doing and what they let happen. They can charge them, but he said to go up to the Supreme Court. He goes, I wouldn't want to waste my time, but we're going to try something, you know, local through the state. But they're talking about how many people are coming through, and it's just the border agents. Everybody's basically a they're just babysitters down there. But they're saying New York, the red wave coming through, if they can do pretty much most of the seats up there, they would just flip the house just on New York alone. And if people really, really listen, a few of these people, and they listen, they bring MSNBC out, they're basically just washing everything. So they had nothing to do with it. We were saying this and we were saying that, but now they're backtracking and saying, well, we didn't have anything to do with all the stuff that's going on, you know, Corona, you know, and Fauci and all this stuff going on. But is it kind of just, you think just the way it's happening right now, is this what they're trying? Because they knew they were going to lose, so we're going to be doing something after
that. I know that they are completely and totally corrupt. I mean, completely.
Yeah, out of their mind.
And I know that. They're like a wounded animal. When you see a wounded animal get in a corner, I don't know, but I do know that you know, they're going to do something. And I don't trust Chris Wray as far as I can throw him in the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
I look at them for some kind of a false flag situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I look for them to try. Well, they've already, there's a number of things. I have a number of articles right here, you know, where they're showing you that they have tried some, a number of places, election fraud. For example, they're a good example. I'll read you some headlines. Concerns that massive identity theft in 2020 election will occur again in 2022. Attorney Clements tells GOP voters, if you're a victim of identity theft, then contact law enforcement immediately. Here's another article. Concerns over massive identity theft in 2020. That's a similar article. I'll be doggone. Okay. And so here, there's a number of, just a whole lot of articles right here that showing you they've already tried pulling that. Breaking: Deputy Director of Milwaukee Election Commission fired for sending out fake military ballots to state residents. Representative Brandon responds. So yeah, they're already doing that. And remember, there, a lot of these elections are within 2 points. And so it's not that hard to flip something. And again, like they're saying, Biden. Now, Biden has come out and said sometime it might take 2 weeks to...
That's baloney, yeah.
Well, because... Every time you have a recount, who always wins? The Democrats always win the recount, don't they?
Yes.
Or the runoffs because they're below 50%. Hello, George.
Yeah.
And see, real quick, on the end of a 1992 Rush Limbaugh, that's how old it is, but I bought it from a certain place. And it says, it's titled, See, I Told You So. And on the back of it, they just talk about, you know, people forward stuff. There's just two lines on there. Well, the Democrats are in the White House, and Bill Clinton couldn't even destroy the country in 4 years. But as Rush Limbaugh leaves the airwaves February 2nd of 2020, he knows exactly what was going on and the things he says. Between yourself at night and you piece a bunch of stuff that Rush would say during the day, they could piece a three-hour show together and just place the names in there. But everything he said is what the Bible said. Whatever they say they're going to do, they're not going to do. And if they don't say it, they're going to do it. And as the Bible says, you know, what they
right.
say is true. And it's happening right in front of our face. But you're right, right on. You can be heard in Cleveland in the Northeast. So God bless you. And you're our Rush Limbaugh, Pastor Sanders, daytime 24/7.
I've been called the Christian Rush Limbaugh. And so,
wow.
Yeah. So
take it as a compliment. I know how you are. It's like, I don't take anything.
Yeah, I'd like. I thought Rush Limbaugh was great. Yeah. All right. I thank you very much.
God bless you. Take care, all of you.
Bye. You too. Okay, John McTernan, ready?
McTernan.
Pardon? Yeah.
I'm ready.
You ready to give an invitation? You got 6 whole minutes almost to give a long invitation. People really need to hear it right now, especially now.
Well, it's funny, Pastor Ernie, with unlimited time, it doesn't matter. But when you get a time limit, I could be speaking for a minute, and it seems like 6 minutes, you know? So I'll go to you, tell me to stop, I guess is the best way to do that. Amen?
All right, yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, the Bible is very clear about good and evil and the source of it. If there is evil in the world, we need something to judge it by. How do we know what's evil? And our judge is the Word of God, the Bible. All truth is in the Bible. I mean, the Nazis claimed that they were doing good. The communists claimed that they were doing good. And so what's the basis for right and wrong? It is God's word. That's what tells us what is right and what is wrong. So we can take God's word and line it up against what's going on today and say that this is evil. Well, it's the same thing about us internally. We have a right and a wrong, and no one can live up to the right except Jesus Christ. Because we have a sin nature. And that sin nature bends us towards sin. And the sin is an action that violates God's word, and it brings a penalty. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. So we have degrees of sin. Some people sin a lot. Some people sin obvious. Some people are not so obvious. But nonetheless, sin is sin. All for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So that's a problem. And then we look at scriptures and it says, God is holy, God is love, and the holiness demands judgment, but God's love demands forgiveness and reconciliation. And God is a father. He's our heavenly father, and he views us as his children. So he wants everybody, under the sound of my voice, he wants everybody in heaven with him, and he provided Jesus Christ to die on the cross, to pay that penalty. The wages of sin is death. And what happens is the sin, our sin was placed on Jesus. And then his righteousness, because he was without sin, is placed on us. There's a transfer. And because he was righteous, we are now righteous before God. And he took the penalty for our sin. It's kind of, it's clear cut and it's simple. But if we reject the Lord and what he did on the cross, then we have to pay the penalty for sin, which is eternal separation from God. And it's not in hell. It's actually in a place called the lake of fire. So God loves you. He's provided the way out from the lake of fire through faith in Jesus Christ. It's actually a little more than faith. It involves repentance. An act of your will that you turn from sin to Jesus Christ. So God will accept anyone, no matter how bad your past is, no matter what you've done. I don't care if you've been in life in prison. If you repent and turn to Jesus Christ, God will forgive you. He is no respecter of persons. And then the second part is that belief that Jesus Christ bodily rose from the dead. And bodily rose from the dead means that he is coming again. And that's exactly what the Bible says. So what we need now is repentance, believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin, and that he rose again. Pastor Ernie, how much time is left?
Well, you know, we're just about, we only got 1 minute, but you know, John, I did want to remind the folks that this coming Sunday, Doors of the Word Baptist Church at 14781 Sperry Road, there's things happening right now, this rise of Satanism that you see. We're going to be having a film showing at 4:30, and it's going to show you, this is the Bible and current events, and it will be showing you very clearly what is happening, because the vast majority of people out there, well, they know things are bad, but they really don't know to the degree that we understand what has taken place, who are the players, how are they doing this, the spread of the Satanism in so-called churches that are really satanic churches. And so we're going to be showing that film at 4:30, and then at 6 o'clock we have our regular service. Don't forget also, tomorrow night, is you have to set your fall back, your time, you set your clocks back tomorrow night. But we're out of time tonight, John. But I want to thank you for giving that invitation. So until tomorrow, good night, God bless, and always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Border Battle. The new new six-part documentary series puts you on the front line of America's southern border and rise of the deadly drug fentanyl.
The overdose death crisis in this country is directly linked to Cartel Jalisco New Generation and the Sinaloa Cartel and their labs.
Fentanyl is 50 times more powerful than heroin. 3 grains of fentanyl would kill you.
Tens of thousands of Americans have died, and our southern border is a drug cartel war zone.
Now they have sophisticated weapons, tanks. They're dropping explosives on their competitors right by the border. We've never seen this before in the history of the country.
Border Battle shows a border crisis like never before, with exclusive footage exposing the consequences of illegal immigration, drug trafficking, and decades of government neglect.
This will get worse before it gets better.
Watch Border Battle from Turning Point USA. Download this shocking six-part series now at SalemNow.com. That's SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.